So actually, that brings up another issue I was going to ask you about as it relates to the ER positive symposium we've been talking about, which is the management of triple positive disease and the use of endocrine therapy in HER2 positive metastatic disease, including CDK inhibitors, where we did see one of your colleagues presented at ESMO some data that I think it was called the MONARCH HER study.
Yeah. So there's two things there. The first is that in clinical practice, half of HER2-positive cancers are also ER-positive. And those patients will benefit from endocrine therapy. So a typical story is, you know, you'll begin them first line with like chemotherapy, trastuzumab, pertuzumab. They'll have a good clinical response. And then after a few months, you'll peel off the chemotherapy part and introduce endocrine therapy. And in clinical practice, that can go on for years. You can have anti-estrogen treatments with the anti-HER2 drugs and help control the tumor. Then the other question is, can you combine these approaches? And so Sham Goyal, who was an investigator in our group and is now running his own lab in Melbourne, has done some beautiful work showing that there are interactions between ER signaling and HER2 signaling, and that in combination with trastuzumab, CDK4/6 inhibitors should have biologic activity. And the MONARCH HER trial looking at abemaciclib in combination with anti-HER2 drugs has shown provocative findings in terms of clinical response to that combination. So I think there are ways of piecing all this together. There haven't been definitive studies to prove what's the best strategy yet.
So can you describe a clinical situation where you have or you would use a CDK inhibitor in somebody with HER2-positive metastatic disease?
So I've had a few patients where they're on the anti-HER2 antibodies. They've been on endocrine therapy, say with, you know, letrozole. Perhaps they have some subtle degree of progression. I've tried sprinkling a little bit of CDK4/6 inhibition in there to see if it might, you know, enhance the period of tumor control with the simple biologics. And, you know, I've seen it work and I've seen it not work. I don't know what that adds up to.
If you saw a second opinion of somebody who was being treated in the first line for metastatic triple positive disease, and the first opinion person had suggested to, whether Cleopatra or whatever, but had suggested using endocrine therapy plus CDK first line at some point in maintenance,
yeah,
whatever.
Probably not first line. You know, I think that given the survival benefit in the Cleopatra study, that has pride of place with chemo.
Well, you can do both though, right?
Right. So that's, well, and that's one of the interesting things about HER2-positive metastatic disease. You know, the patients who are going out of these trials are getting it in third, fourth, fifth line and beyond treatment. We don't see that much recurrent HER2-positive breast cancer anymore. One of the fascinating talks at San Antonio was the six-year update for the adjuvant pertuzumab trial, the AFFINITY study. And in low-risk, node-negative patients, the six-year disease-free survival was 95% for node-negative patients, and it was 89-90% for node-positive patients. And so, you know, HER2-positive disease is this extraordinary, great success for early-stage treatment. We still see some recurrences, particularly high-risk tumors. We see tumors that are heterogeneous with HER2 that may recur. And, of course, we see de novo metastatic disease. But low-risk patients are doing phenomenally well.